Well, hello, everyone, and welcome to another edition of the Midwest Hemp Council podcast. I'm your host, Jason Dozier. Thanks for being with us today. A lot coming up, a lot of information that you really need to hear about, so stay tuned for that. We're going to hear from Justin Swanson, president of the Midwest Hemp Council. He's going to give us some legislative updates on what's going on out there in the hemp world. But first, we're going to start with Jamie Campbell-Petty. Jamie is the executive director of the Midwest Hemp Council. Jamie, so good to have you on the program. How you doing today?
Great, Jason. Good to hear your voice and have a chance to catch up.
Yeah, you know, it's been a while, and it's always fun to talk and catch up. And a lot coming up. The hemp at the crossroads. We've kept our fingers crossed all year, and it looks like we're on the home stretch here. Hemp at the crossroads coming up in December, and we certainly hope to see everybody there.
Yes, very excited. And we're glad that you're going to be joining us to help us capture the day and share that with everyone. We have a lot of booths. We have a few left remaining, but we have quite a few booths filled. Our revised agenda, very exciting. We'll post probably on Monday. And we've got some great sponsors, Indiana Farm Bureau, Risk Strategies, Bose Public Affairs Group, and others. And we do have several spots remaining. So if you're interested, whether it's a booth or participation, please get to the website right away, MidwestHempCouncil.com, and then you'll see the link to Hemp at the Crossroads and everything you want to know. Well, we do have early bird until November 15th, and then that will end.
Well, and I know a lot of there's some folks that mentioned they were kind of holding off because they weren't sure if there was even going to be an event with COVID. You just never know from day to day what's going on. But as I kind of alluded to there in the beginning, we're on the home stretch. It looks like it's certainly going to happen. So I would anticipate some more booths being sold pretty quickly. So if you're interested in one, you need to kind of jump in and grab that, because I think the only reason those are open is because people have been just a little leery to pull that trigger. But again, we're there now, so it's going to happen. So if you're interested in that booth space, now would be the time to snatch it up.
Absolutely. And we are excited. We have people coming in from all across the country to cover research, to cover cannabinoid, grain, fiber, business, banking. So, updates from the USDA. So stay tuned. We'll drop that agenda next week. And it's going to be really exciting to have so many different teams here from our region and from across the U.S.
And of course, all the information's on the website. But Jamie, go ahead and just run down the details on the day, the event, everything, Embassy Suites in Plainfield. Give us all for the folks listening, the details on that.
Sure. So Wednesday, December 1st, in the late afternoon, around 5 o'clock, we're going to open registration and we'll open the expo hall so that exhibitors can come in and begin to set up. And then we'll all gather in the expo hall around 8 or 9 o'clock for a celebration, a welcome reception that is generously sponsored by Indiana Farm Bureau. So we can all share some beverages and bites and greet each other and get reacquainted, especially after such a stretch of not too much in person.
Right.
And then we will kick off Thursday, the December 2nd, we kick off in the morning. Trade show opens at 8, I believe. And then we will kick off around 9, and we have general sessions all morning. In the afternoon, we'll have breakout sessions. And these will run, these breakout sessions will have 3 tracks from which each can select. There'll be a cannabinoid, a fiber grain, and a business track. Mm-hmm. So subject specific, lot of information to choose from. And then on Friday, we have a 9, 10, and 11 o'clock session, and not prepared to announce who those will be yet, but we have some exciting opportunities to close out the Hemp at the Crossroads with and make sure that everyone takes home new information, new contacts, and feeling good about entering into this post-COVID era and heading into 2022 growing season.
Oh, without question. So again, booth space available. Go to the website, get that information, get a hold of Jamie or anybody there that can take care of that. And again, the contact info, everything on the website. But Jamie, as far as people that just want to go and mill about, how do they go about getting tickets or entry and all that good stuff?
Yes. And so conference pricing for someone who is just, who's coming to attend and participate in all these sessions and these opportunities. The early bird registration again ends November 15th. For members, it's now $150. For non-members, $250. Mm-hmm. That will increase by $50 if you wait till after November 15th to $200 and $300 respectively. So grab now this great price of $150 for our members, $250 for non-members. And again, you're going to have a day and a half packed full of information from agronomy to marketing to business. It's going to cover quite a bit. So hope to see everyone there.
Excellent. Excellent. What else do we have going on coming up here, Jamie, before the Hemp at the Crossroads?
So most people have seen that we are going to be teaming with the National Hemp Association and New Holland to be at the Future Farmers of America annual convention next week. And as everyone here knows, that Midwest Hemp Council has been doing that for several years, but we are very excited to be in a much more elevated position and collaborating with some strong team members. We will be having hands-on hempcrete sessions for the FFA students. We'll be having agronomy courses, and Justin Swanson will be there to talk to the students about advocacy. Mm-hmm. So excited about that. That is next Wednesday afternoon, all day Thursday, and most of Friday. Hmm. You can go to our website for links to the FFA website to get some of the details, and be sure and follow us on social media as well, and our newsletter. All of this information is there. We also, going into November, Jason, will be in DC with the National Industrial Hemp Council's Business Summit. Mm-hmm. I will be speaking along with many others from the industry. And then that will take us into the Thanksgiving holiday, when you can get a quick break before you gear up and join us at Hemp at the Crossroads.
Excellent. Excellent. Well, I certainly hope you have a fun trip to D.C. I know that can always be a fun time. Now, if you get just stay away from the Capitol building, though. That's my only advice when going to Washington. Just never know who you're going to run into or what's going to happen. So that's my only advice, Jamie.
It's an odd time. And before we close, I want to put the word out soon. You're going to see in our newsletters and through our social media that our January is filling up. Mm. We have our partners up in Michigan, iHemp Michigan. Their conference is January 1 and 22 in Lansing. They are heavily focused on a business-to-business format. Mm-hmm. So we're really encouraging everyone to take into consideration both of those Midwest conferences, which mm-hmm. are going to be different. You're going to see a different focus, different education. And then, of course, a lot of the same experts in their field will be sharing their expertise. Mm-hmm. And then also for Indiana specific, for our Hoosier hemp growers that are going to be interested in growing or processing for 2022, we are teaming with the Office of the Indiana State Chemist and Purdue Extension to offer two growers meetings. The first growers meeting will be in Bloomington. We're calling that the South meeting. Mm-hmm. That'll be at 5 o'clock p.m. on Monday, January 10th. And then the Northern meeting will be on Wednesday, the 12th at 5 p.m. in Kokomo, Indiana.
Oh, okay.
So registration will open soon for those. And Don Robinson, the hemp feed administrator, the seed commissioner, he will be speaking and updating us on all things we need to know and walking us through licensing for mm-hmm. 2022. Mm-hmm. Justin Swanson will be there to update on legislation and regulation. And Marguerite Bolt will be there to kind of regroup, look at what happened in 2021 and some of the focus for 2022. So it's going to be a great opportunity, to get together. We'll be at Upland Brewery in Bloomington, which will be really cool. In Kokomo, we are going to be at the Howard County Fairgrounds. But again, stay tuned. You're going to get all that information on the website, social media, newsletters. And then we'll also be doing some legislation preparation meetings and discussions. Mm-hmm. And as everyone knows, here in Indiana, our session starts in January, and you're going to want to stay tuned as we move forward there. And as as always, working with all the states to keep everyone apprised of what's happening around us.
Well, obviously, Jamie, a lot coming up, and it's just so unusual for you to have so much on your agenda.
Exactly. And I, actually, as we said that, something just popped up that I did fail to share. Mm-hmm. One more event, again, on our website in our newsletter, but it is the Green Balance Hemp Fest. And that's on Saturday, November 13th in Griffith, Indiana. Mm. And Midwest Hemp Council will be there. Joe and Kelly Lenny and Brandy Barrett have all agreed to show up and represent Midwest Hemp Council and help educate the attendees and share the news about all of our members.
Oh, that's awesome.
So I encourage everyone to, yeah, they're going to have some great bands, as I understand it, and many other types of vendors. Mm-hmm. So encourage everyone to check that out.
And then when and where is that again?
That is in Griffith, Indiana, mm-hmm. and that's on November 13th, which is a Saturday.
Okay.
And that'll be on our website. It's on our website, social media, and our newsletter. I'm looking at our newsletter from this week, and that's there. And one last push. We have some, we have our hemp shirts back in. We had so many people asking for those.
Oh, yeah.
So the hemp t-shirts are back in. And we have ordered more hats because Brandy Barrett designed these hats that we now have available. Mm-hmm. They're fabulous. So both of those are the access to those is in our newsletter.
Oh, awesome.
So if you are not receiving our newsletter, it costs nothing and you do not have to be a member. So go to the website and at a minimum, sign up for that newsletter so that you can stay abreast of some of this information and have access to these opportunities.
And so much information there. I do appreciate it, Jamie. That was a mouthful here this week.
It's been a while.
No kidding.
And we are, people are, like you said, Jason, people are coming out of COVID and Midwest Hemp Council's inbox is exploding with events coming up. We're already looking at the World Ag Expo in February and how we will be participating there, and then NOCO in March. So come on, folks, let's get back into it and gather and let's move things forward.
Awesome. That's exciting. Thank you so much, Jamie. Now, is there anything else that we left out?
I'm sure I did. All right. We'll cover it next time.
There we go. Again, go to the website. Everything Jamie just discussed is on there. But the big takeaways, Hemp at the Crossroads, now's the time to act. Get your tickets and booth space and all that good stuff and get ready to go because it is coming on. So, again, in December, so we plan to be there. And what else is there to do in December?
That's right. So let's get together.
Well, obviously we have Christmas, but I'm talking early December. So after that Thanksgiving lull there. So at any rate, Jamie, thank you so much. We're going to talk with Justin Swanson here and get some updates from him as well. So a very informative day here on the Midwest Hemp Council podcast. Jamie, thanks for being a part of it.
Thank you, Jason.
All right. As we continue on, we're going to speak with Justin Swanson. Justin is the president of the Midwest Hemp Council. He's also principal at Bose Public Affairs Group and partner at Bose McKinney and Evans. Justin, how you doing today?
I'm great, Jason. Thanks for having me on again today.
Well, absolutely. Thanks for joining us. And when Justin joins us, we get all kinds of great inside information. And today, some of that's coming from the National Association of State Department of Agriculture, their September meeting. And Justin, obviously, it's October, so we assume they had that September meeting. And you can tell us about what's going on with that.
Last month, and just so our listeners know who we're talking about real quick, NASDA, or as you said, the National Association of State Department of Agriculture. These are kind of the executives of each state's kind of lead arm of developing agriculture in their state. Mm-hmm. And more since the passage of the 18 Farm Bill, they've been focusing on hemp and supporting policies that will help develop the market and the supply chain and collect the data needed to make data-driven decisions on kind of where to take the policy where it's needed. And so over the years, they've gotten more and more supportive. And I think there's different groups that have reached out and are really trying to engage the association to make sure they're making informed decisions on what they're supporting and, what more importantly, what they're not supporting on the hemp side.
So what were some of the relevant policy amendments that were adopted?
So we had three of them, and all three were related to hemp. There was a handful of other ones, but these are really the relevant ones. Mm-hmm. And the first one is They passed a policy amendment that states they support a streamlined scientific approval process of animal feed ingredients in promoting production efficiency, animal well-being, food safety, and decreasing the environmental footprint of livestock and pets.
Mm-hmm.
So to get to this amendment, the huge potentials, untapped potentials of hemp is the seed or the grain, hemp seed or grain of the plant. And that's really nutritious. It's high in protein, high in omega 3, 6, and 9. So the industry has really been trying to find a regulatory pathway forward to allow farmers to grow hemp grain and then feed it to either to their livestock or, you know, on a commercial basis and sell to other farmers. Right now, it's not approved. So there's one pathway is getting approval through what's called the FDA CVM. That's the Centers for Veterinary Medicine. And one group that we've been, Jason, we've been recently involved with is the Hemp Feed Coalition.
Mm-hmm.
They're a national group. They got some really stellar folks, volunteers that have technical expertise on submitting an application to FDA to get approval to, basically sign off that it's safe to do this.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
And so that group actually recently submitted an application for hen laying eggs. And unfortunately, we got kind of a negative response from FDA, and we are regrouping and recircling, kind of tapping our experts again on figuring out what the best pathway forward for approval here.
What do you mean by the hen laying eggs? What's the process we're looking for here?
So unfortunately, for each animal species that you'd want to feed hemp grain to, you'd need to get separate approval from FDA. And so this is the first one that the group focused on were hens that lay eggs.
Mm-hmm.
And kind of the part of the frustration is we're afraid we're probably not going to have a market for a very long time if we have to go one by one each species to get approval.
Ah, right, right.
We're obviously working with the regulators and AFCO on that process. But Montana recently passed state legislation that created that regulatory pathway. Basically, you can feed it to animals as long as it's not the end use isn't that animal's not for human consumption. So you kind of have a two front policy approach here. One is you're working with the current regulatory market to try to bring that, commercial animal feed mm-hmm. To market. Then you're also trying to work with legislators and educate them on, hey, maybe this isn't the best way to do it because, again, it's going to take a lot of time and resources for each animal.
Right, right. So if you've got a llama farm and you're not feeding the llama to the general public, then that might open the door to be able to use it for that sort of industry, but maybe not, again, for the hen laying eggs or the hens laying the eggs and things like that for human consumption.
Jason, that's correct, but that's specifically just for Montana.
Okay.
We may see some other states that begin kind of chewing kind of on the edges on this policy issue,
mm-hmm.
Which may in turn kind of put some pressure on FDA to not be so nitpicky on some of these applications.
Mm-hmm.
Because keep in mind, FDA has recognized, it's called a GRAS notification, generally recognized as safe. You had a company who applied for that notification for three different hemp seed derived food, human foods. So FDA recognizes that hemp seed is safe for human consumption, and now we're trying to get that approval for animals as well. So
right.
It seems pretty straightforward, but is anything with the federal government's involved, it's usually not as easy as it should be.
And how does this decrease the environmental footprint?
This kind of what we've been advocating for is this is really right now a feed supplement. So like a feed ration, it's something you'd give on top of what you're already giving them.
Mm-hmm.
And it also creates kind of a domestic supply chain. So mm-hmm. our farmers will be able to source their feed for their animals here in the United States rather than outside of the country. And it also kind of lessens our dependence on foreign countries buying our some of our animal feed on the corn and soy side if we have different options as well. So mm-hmm. it's kind of a broad statement, but we do think it's a really good path. Opportunity for our markets, or sorry, for our farmers to bring this to market.
And also then NASDA is also supporting the rights of state governments to establish statutes and regulations, things like that, the interstate commerce, that's all in play here as well.
Yeah, and this is, so the Second Amendment they adopted, Jason, really hits on Congress passed the 2018 Farm Bill. It's black and white in there saying that states don't have the authority to interfere with the interstate commerce of hemp and hemp products. Mm-hmm. So that was a really important provision in here because it forced states who maybe were dragging their feet on updating their statutes. You know, Congress was saying, we don't care if you've updated your statutes or not. If this stuff is moving through your state, you cannot, you can't basically stop it and seize it and, you know, write someone up for transporting marijuana, basically. Mm-hmm, mm-hmm. So this is just a really good supportive amendment by NASDA, again, making sure that Congress understands how important this piece is. You know, and for any market, if you don't have a free flow of interstate trade, you're obviously going to be hindered and your growth will be stopped in its tracks.
Certainly. And that's so, something we've discussed for the last couple of years here, just getting the product from point A to point B, crossing those state lines used to be a big problem. So hopefully they'll get that straightened out. Okay. So there's the first two policy amendments we talked about. What is the third one, Justin?
So the last one is really interesting, and it's NASDA expressing support for the dual designation of hemp being a specialty crop mm-hmm. Based on the manner and purpose for which it's grown. Mm-hmm. So right now, USDA has a program. They give grants on a kind of on a block basis for what they refer to as specialty crops. Mm-hmm. And that's just defined generally. I look at the website as fruits and vegetables, tree nuts, dried fruits, horticulture, nursery crops, that kind of thing. So they have an explicit list of what's included and what's not included in that definition. Mm-hmm. And to date, hemp has always been explicitly excluded from this grant program, which has been disappointing because no one's really had a good answer for why that's been. You know, I think reading the tea leaves, I think most times they want to wait for anytime they have a new market, they probably want to let it settle down before they start handing out money a little bit. So,
okay, sure.
This is, I think, a really positive sign because the more and more, I think, hemp producers are treated like true agricultural members of the market, you know, the more successful we're going to have, more success our farmers will have. Mm-hmm, mm-hmm. And this is also interesting, too, Jason, because when Congressman Baird came and had his 2023 Farm Bill listening tour, so this is the big agricultural bill in Congress they pass. Midwest Hemp Council was invited, so I went in my capacity as president. And this was one of the things I brought up was the fact that hemp has been historically excluded from this definition. Mm-hmm. So this is all good timing because we had our Indiana delegation hear it from our industry here in Indiana, and then NASDA kind of gives us credibility in what we're saying. They come in with a policy amendment like this supporting it.
All right. And again, when you say NASDA, we're talking about the National Association of State Department of Agriculture. So in a nutshell, would you say this was a success this year for hemp as far as the NASDA?
Yeah. I mean, look, you know, typically what grabs headline in the hemp industry is stuff that really chills the market and you know, creates fear and uncertainty and doubt with people who are, you know, financially and emotionally committed to the market. Mm-hmm. So I think it's always good to highlight stuff, especially with, you know, NASDA again represents the 50 states here in every state with their leaders in ag. So the more and more educated I think our stakeholders like this get, the more educated they get, I think only the more supportive and confidence it gives them to be supportive of our industry. So I just wanted to highlight that. Mm-hmm. And I think we'll just continue to engage them and use that as a good platform to really, I think, highlight some remaining issues with policy and hemp today.
Well, Justin, when we have you on here, oftentimes we discuss the USDA as well. And the National Agriculture Statistics Services has conducted its first hemp acreage and production survey. So what kind of results are we getting from that? Has that just started? Did they just get that sent out, or where are we at with that?
And it's kind of funny because the longer and longer we kind of interact in the hemp industry and the more we learn, I've learned that the USDA has a National Agriculture Statistics Service. So that's a department in USDA that collects data that really helps industries make, again, data-driven decisions on policy issues mm-hmm. and regulations. So this is really, really important because, again, it's USDA, it's the federal government expending funds, time and resources to collect that data. And this was just sent out on Monday, October 18th, to 20,500 producers across the nation. So this is really the first time we're going to have a national effort to collect this data. And they'll collect things like total acres planted, total number of acres actually harvested, because there's usually a delta between those two, mm-hmm. the yield, and then the production and value in the United States. And we expect these results to be available publicly kind of on an aggregate level sometime in probably late February, and it'll be posted on USDA's website. So we'll be sure to bring that to everyone's attention when it comes.
All right, 20,500 producers. So we assume some of those are in Indiana or certainly within earshot of this podcast. So if they haven't got that in the mail, it should be there very soon. Again, as you said, these were sent out on Monday, October 18th. So they should start arriving in mailboxes soon.
You either get mail and you can even fill it out online.
Yeah, I assume it's probably email. I don't know what decade I'm living in here.
Well, it depends, right, on some rural areas. So they do have an option for paper ballot like that. But yeah, Jason, definitely encourage anyone listening, if they do get that survey, to please fill it out. Because if you go back and actually read the USDA's final rule and kind of the evolution of thought policy between the interim final rule and the final rule, if our listeners will remember, that interim final rule USDA first put out was really bad for the industry. It didn't, mm-hmm. Reflect the realities of hemp production. Mm-hmm. And then we were able to, as an industry, supply data to them to demonstrate why certain policy issues were bad. And they actually made that, significant shifts in between the interim final rule and the final rule. So again, data is very important for any industry, especially for the hemp industry, because it allows us to give our regulators and stakeholders kind of a bigger picture of what's going on in the industry and what's needed to continue to move forward.
All right. And the CDC also making some progress, or at least some statements. Of course, we hear about the CDC with COVID, rarely hear about it related to the hemp. But they did release a statement on Delta 8. So go ahead and update us on that, Justin.
Yeah. So this is a really interesting development on Delta 8. And I'm sure as our listeners know, Delta 8 has been kind of a wedge issue for the industry as a whole. And just to provide some color to that statement, Delta 8 is you have processors and labs who are taking CBD isolate and converting it into other minor cannabinoids like Delta 8. Delta 8, depending on, the concentration in the product you're taking, can be psychoactive, meaning it'll mimic, to a lesser extent, mimic what Delta 9, the main psychoactive cannabinoid in marijuana. So it's stronger than CBD, but not as potent as Delta 9. Mm-hmm. And this is really across the country. If we have a lot of retailers who sell just CBD products or low THC hemp products in general. And with the CBD market really bottoming out, and the prices aren't sustainable for retailers. This product has been supporting small businesses across the country, supporting the processors and the manufacturers as well. So whether you, whatever your thoughts are personally on Delta 8, whether or not, the hemp industry should be supporting it, or we should be asking for bans, kind of my personal philosophy on this is it's driven by consumer demand. And if you ban something like this, all it does is put it underground and mm-hmm. makes the product less safe and, less consistent. Mm-hmm. So anyway, getting actually to the CDC statement, they don't say, one, it's illegal, which is interesting because that's a big argument from people who don't like Delta 8 being part of the hemp market. And really their only thing they say is, retailers need to do a better job with labeling and educating consumers on what this is, because it certainly is stronger than CBD. Mm-hmm. So again, it's just interesting. And one of these things that caused a huge ripple and chilling effect in the market for a couple of days. And then again, as most people involved in the industry know, that you have these agencies who kind of take these steps to chill the market, and then we move on. So we haven't seen a whole lot of other developments from the CDC on this yet, but it's definitely an interesting topic.
All right, Justin Swanson, president of the Midwest Hemp Council, and big doings coming in December. It looked like we never know, you know, didn't know if COVID was going to pull things back or not, but it looks like we've got a clear path to hemp at the crossroads. December 1st through the 3rd, looks like we're still going strong. Everything's on, and still some booth spaces available.
Yeah, so we're really excited about this, Jason. As you know, we had our first conference, Hemp at the Crossroads, back in 2019.
Mm-hmm.
We had about 300 people come over, a little over 300 people come over our two-day conference from about 20 states. So we had a great turnout, a lot of enthusiasm and support for making sure we have a platform here in Indiana that brings folks from all over the country.
Mm-hmm.
Unfortunately, during 2020, during the pandemic, we did not have the conference. So we're really excited to be back in person. We do not have a backup plan to go virtual, so fingers crossed that we'll be allowed to do so. But yeah, we do have a handful of vendor booths available for the trade show. So I'd really encourage anyone who's looking at that to hop on it, and also have a couple spots open for sponsorships. But this is a really good time to come in. You'll hear from university researchers on genetics and, you know, best practices on planning. You'll hear from people, you know, small business owners who are successful in the industry today, giving tips and, you know, advice on how to navigate the industry and what it looks like going forward.
Well, if we can put 60,000 people in Lucas Oil Stadium on any given weekend, I think we can get a few thousand people at Hemp at the Crossroads. I we've got our fingers crossed, but I think at this point it's looking pretty good, Justin.
Yeah. Yes. So we are, again, really excited and would appreciate anyone that's willing to support the efforts to join us in person, and hope to see everybody there.
And as we discussed with Jamie, people can, of course, get more information there on the website, MidwestHempCouncil.com.
That's right.
All right, Justin Swanson, president of the Midwest Hemp Council. And Justin is also a principal at Bose Public Affairs Group and partner at Bose McKinney & Evans. As always, Justin, a great pleasure to have you on. You've given us some great information today, a lot of good updates, and we'll look forward to more in the future.
All right. Thank you, Jason.
All right. And that's going to do it for this week's edition of the Midwest Hemp Council podcast. We typically do the podcast weekly. However, through the summer months here, early fall, we've only been doing it once a month, but we will get back to a regular schedule coming up shortly. So stay tuned for that. Meanwhile, again, we do encourage you to go to the website, check out all the information there, stay updated, especially with the Hemp at the Crossroads event coming up here in December. So that's going to do it for this week. I'm your host, Jason Dozier. I do appreciate you tuning in. Thanks to Jamie Campbell Petty and Justin Swanson for giving us all that good information and keeping us updated. So until next time, so long, everybody.